Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it might be the most important 30 minutes of your life. Our show is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it without any manipulation. That means we have no hidden agendas, nothing that we're trying to raise money for. This is simply a show about truth, and that truth comes from the basis of the Word of God. Yes, it is a Christian radio show. It's not a talk show. It's not a show where people call in and give their human viewpoint. I'm simply going to talk to you about the Bible in a no-nonsense, down-to-earth sort of way, so that you can take some practical information from the Word of God that may give you a fresh biblical inventory of ideas in your soul so that you can make some decisions. You see, bad decisions limit future options. And when you make decisions not based on the leadership of the Word of God, in other words, just based on your own human thinking, on your own human thought, or maybe what someone told you, that's a great way to get yourself in trouble. Bad decisions often take years to overcome. So by learning divine viewpoint, by discovering what the Bible has to say, we can save ourselves a lot of heartache and a lot of lost time and lost wages sometime if we simply learn to do it God's way. And that's what this show is all about. It's talking about what the Bible says in a no-nonsense approach, practical Christian living. That's what my ministry has always been about. And if you are a listener, if you've listened to us for a while, you understand that last week we talked about prayer, one of the greatest assets that any Christian has, the ability to pray. However, many prayers are never answered. Many prayers never get any higher than the ceiling. And it's because people do a right thing, but they often do it in a wrong way. I gave you some background on prayer last week where we mentioned Jeremiah 33:3, where God simply said, "Call on me and I will show you great and mighty things." Every believer in Jesus Christ is a priest. All of us are believer priests. And we have the privilege to go to God in prayer ourselves. You do not need someone to intercede for you in prayer. You can confidently and boldly approach the throne room of grace yourself. That is your privilege as a believer in Jesus Christ. So your effective prayers are a direct connection to the throne room of God. I taught you that last week. We talked about it last week. But when I say effective, there are prayers that are not effective. However, effective prayers, like Isaiah 65:24, it will come to pass that before they even call on me, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. So sometimes prayer is used properly, and sometimes prayer is misused or even abused as believers in Jesus Christ or even people that are not saved at all attempt to exploit the power of God. They attempt to exploit prayer to get their own way, to manipulate God, almost as if he might be a genie in a bottle, and maybe they want the genie to pop out and solve their problems. So one of the great principles that we talked about last week on this radio show is that prayer is never designed to bribe or manipulate God, because the primary purpose of prayer is to ask according to what God's will is. You're not going to get God to change his mind. You're not going to get God to do something that he normally would not do because you begged him or beseeched him. God has a perfect will for your life. And when you learn that will and apply that will, then prayer is simply complying with the will of God. Now, the privilege of prayer, as we talked about last week, is bestowed by God to fulfill his will. And we also talked last week about how fast does prayer travel. I mentioned to you a book that I read by my pastor, a man that mentored me, where he talked about how light traveled at 186,000 miles a second. He talked about one light year is 6 trillion miles, and light from the sun, it takes it about 8 minutes to reach us. We talked about how far away that is, and yet how quickly prayers reach the throne room of God. We really don't know how far away the throne room of God is, but we know that your simple prayer in the name of Jesus Christ is immediately presented to the throne room of God. The Bible gives us a mandate in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened to you. Asking is the routine of prayer. Seeking is wanting divine guidance. And knocking, that's intensive prayer or supplication. And so, we are allowed to pray. It's a wonderful opportunity to pray. And there's nothing wrong with you having an effective prayer life. You should have an effective prayer life. But what you should understand, and all of us need to understand, is that prayer is not the means of spirituality. It's a powerful instrument provided by God. Yes, it is. It helps us meet our needs and face our adversities and the temptations and the dilemmas of life that we run into. But it is not, and I repeat, prayer is not the means of having an effective spiritual life. It is done because you have an effective spiritual life. Please understand that. I mean, when I first became a Christian, oh boy, I heard it all the time. You need to pray. And I did. I prayed. I prayed till I was blue in the face sometimes. And I'm sure sometimes God answered my prayers, as I can testify, and sometimes those prayers weren't answered because I did a right thing, but I did it in a wrong way. One of the examples of that is Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 5 and 7, you find where our Lord Jesus Christ explains how long prayers should be reserved for private and not be done in public. Listen as I read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. And when you pray, you should not be as the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and at the corners of the streets. They do this so that they may be noticed by men. I say unto you, they will have their reward. But you, when you pray, you go into your room and you shut the door, and you pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees things in secret, he will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the pagans do. For they think that they shall be heard because of their many repetitions. But don't be like that. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what things you need of, even before you ask it. You see, one of the things that went on in the early days of the church was worship of Baal. These early followers of Baal would get drunk, they would go to the temple, they would sacrifice an animal, they'd get drunk, and they'd sit around and they'd chant, Iacchus, Iacchus, Iacchus. And this was their way of praying to Baal, and sometimes through vain repetition they thought their prayers would be answered. And our Lord made it very clear, if you're going to pray long prayers, you do that in private. And sometimes we see people that get up and they start praying, oh God, out behind the moon and the stars and beyond the universe, thank thee. And man, it's like, uh-oh, this one's going to be a long one. You know, some people are just impressed with how wonderful they sound in prayer. Some people have an accent, especially the English accent. And when they pray like this, they pray to the master. Boy, when you hear those sort of people pray, you think, man, that guy's got a direct connection with God. Listen to how holy he sounds. That has nothing to do with being an effective prayer warrior. Prayer is a mandate. We are told to pray without ceasing, and that doesn't mean 24 hours a day, but that means to be in a constant attitude of prayer. But there is a proper sequence to prayer. We discussed that last week, and the sequence always starts, if you're going to pray effectively, if you're going to have an effective prayer life, be it intercessory prayer where you're praying for someone else, or even petitions where you're asking for your own needs, you must start with problem-solving device number one. Our show is called the Flotline, F-L-O-T. That's a military acronym for the forward line of troops. The Flotline, the whole concept about the show is deploying the Word of God in the forward compartments of your soul so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress. And the Word of God can be compartmentalized into at least 10 problem-solving devices for every Christian. You learn these problem-solving devices and you utilize them, operate under them in your soul. You can bring God maximum glorification. You see, the lag principle, learn, apply, and glorify, comes right into play. And so when you learn something, you begin to acquire a biblical inventory of ideas, and you orient and adjust in your life. Maybe you've been doing something wrong, and you orient and adjust. You correct that so that now, even, for example, in prayer, maybe you were doing the right thing, but maybe you were doing it the wrong way. For example here, listen to this. The first sequence in prayer is always to confess your sin to God. You need not start praying until you first of all deal with your own personal sin, and that's problem-solving device number one, called rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, then He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The reason we have to do this is because if we pray to the Father while we have unconfessed sin in our life, God cannot hear your prayer. And that's why the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see, when you deal with sin, you are filled with the Spirit. It's just that simple. You see, when sin comes into your life, it quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. And when you confess that sin to God, then again, you're filled with the Spirit. And by confessing your sin on a consistent basis, every day, moment by moment, not letting it accumulate or build up in your life, simply going to the Father and admitting it when you do it, then this allows you to walk in the Spirit. Even though you may stumble and fall in sin, you confess your sin and you get up and you keep moving forward. And you don't look back. You don't carry a guilt trip. You simply rebound and recover or resume your spiritual life. You cannot have an effective prayer life until you rebound. Your prayers will not be answered if you have unconfessed sin in your life and you go to God in prayer. The second sequence in prayer, we talked about it last week, I'm almost confident that we did, is that we come and we offer thanksgiving. And the Bible is pretty clear about that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, we are to be thankful for everything that God puts into our life. Nothing happens by mistake. And when God allows circumstances into your life that are less than pleasurable, it's always about trying to teach you something. It's always about trying to test you and see if you've learned enough biblical information to handle this sort of test. God doesn't desire to hurt you. He doesn't desire to harm you. He only desires to bless you. And so, by thanking God for every situation in your life, even the food that you eat, there's a good reason to have thanksgiving, and you're able to come to God in fellowship without any unconfessed sin in your life. You're able to thank God because He saved you. Thank God that He gave you the spouse that you have. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your church. Thank God for your country. You can even thank God for the air you breathe every day, because that's a gift from God. And then you can begin the third sequence in prayer, which is intercession. An intercession is when you start praying for the needs of other people. You start interceding for the needs of other people. I could not do what I do in the ministry unless people interceded for me. And thank goodness there are many people, even some of you that are listening today, that have faithfully interceded for me when I needed your effective prayer support. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See, praying always, interceding with supplication. That's our job. And the fourth sequence in prayer is petition. This is when we are allowed to come to God and to seek the things that we need in our life. Hebrews 4:16 talks about this. There's nothing wrong with asking God to give you guidance or leadership if you don't know the answer to something. But now if you're praying like I did one time for a helicopter, forget it. Not going to answer. God's not going to work. You say, Big Rick, did you really pray for a helicopter? Well, one time I was traveling all over the country, speaking in high schools, driving here, driving there. I thought, boy, it'd be great if I had a helicopter. Then I could just fly to the school and land and speak and go to the next school. I was speaking in 3 schools a day, 15 schools a week, 400 and something schools in a year. Gee whiz, what do you think? I was driving like crazy. And then I heard a fellow talk about stupid prayers, and he said, like praying for helicopters. Well, he didn't know I'd been doing that. God got my attention and said, you got to be the biggest dummy in town praying for a helicopter. I didn't even know how to fly it. I don't know what I was going to do with it, but I just figured I needed a helicopter. So petitions can be ridiculous. That's what I'm saying. You can pray for things that are ridiculous. There may be answers already in the Bible. There may be spiritual solutions already in the Bible. And so you're not supposed to be praying for those things. All right? And we're going to talk some more about that. But I want to give you today at least 10 reasons why your prayers may not be answered. That's right. At least 10 reasons why your prayers may not be answered. If you'd like a copy of these, you can write to me at bigrick.org. The website is simply www.bigrick.org. If you go there, you'll see a little icon that says email Big Rick, and you can email me from there. Or you can simply address rick@bigrick.org, rick@bigrick.org. And you can request the 10 reasons that God does not answer prayer. But let me give them to you today. Number one, the number one reason that God does not answer prayer is you are not filled with the Holy Spirit when you pray. For example, Deacon Smith hates Deacon Jones. One of them shafted the other one in a business deal, and he never forgave him, and he's hated him for years. They don't even speak to each other, but they're both deacons, and they both go to the same church, so Deacon Smith is called on by the preacher to get up and pray. Deacon Smith's prayer is not effective, because the Bible says if we say we love God and hate our brother, we're a liar, and the truth is not in us. Deacon Smith can pray till the cows come home. His prayer is not going to be answered, because he has sin in his life, hatred, and bitterness and antagonism towards that guy that shafted him in the business deal. Maybe even towards the last pastor who he ran off because he didn't like him for sticking his nose in his business, the man we say. So, I mean, come on. There, to be honest about it, if I had to make a objective, honest evaluation, I would say that at least 90% of the prayers offered up on Sunday morning in churches all across our state, they're not effective. They're not answered. They don't go any higher than the ceiling. And they may be eloquent. They may be wonderful sounding prayers, but they're not effective because the person who offers the prayer is not filled with the Holy Spirit. The second reason that prayers are not answered is because you don't use faith when you pray. You do not use faith when you pray. You see, when you pray, you're supposed to believe that God is going to answer your prayer. It's not just you praying and saying, well, gee, I hope God heard that. I hope God answers that one. No, you're supposed to use faith. Matthew 21:22, and all things, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Do you believe that God is going to answer your prayer when you pray? See, this is the faith rest drill, where you orient to the Word of God, claim a promise, believe it, and God will answer. Now, unless you're praying something that's ridiculous, you're praying something that's stupid, you want to build a new house and you don't have enough money to pay for the bulldozer, so you're praying for God to move that mountain, don't waste your time. It's not going to happen. See, you're not praying correct procedure. But if you use the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, then your prayers will be answered because you're praying in faith. You know, there's another reason that prayers are not answered, and the book of James talks about it. This is in James chapter 4, verse 3, and I'm turning to that in my Bible now so I can read it to you. This is because the prayer is motivated by the wrong thing. In James 4:3, the Bible says, you ask and you receive not, because you have asked amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. What does that mean? Well, let's say you're praying to win the lottery. Wrong prayer. right way to do. Prayers, yeah, prayer, nothing wrong with pray, but why are you praying to win the lottery? Oh, if I could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. If I could just pay all my bills, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I'm telling you, unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go, whether they're rich or whether they're broke. Some of the richest people in the world are miserable. I've told you about Elvis Presley and the question that was asked him when he said, if you get rich and famous, will you be happy? And Elvis said, no, I'm lonely as hell. That doesn't make you happy. Wealth and prosperity is its own different sort of test. So when you begin to pray motivated by lust, I want to win this, I want to win that, I want this, I want that, that prayer's not going to be answered. Lust. You see, there are a lot of different types of lust. Some people think in terms only of sex lust. That's not the only lust in the Bible. There's power lust. A politician may pray, God, help me win this election. Why? Why do you want to be this particular officer? Why do you want to hold this particular position? Is it because you have power lust? You desire to have power? Do you have ego lust? You desire to be recognized? Do you have chemical lust? Do you have alcohol lust? Do you have approbation lust? Do you have sex lust? I mean, we can go on and on and on about these different lust patterns. Everybody doesn't have the same lust pattern. But we all have lust because it is the fruit of our sin nature. It is what motivates us in our own area of weakness. And so maybe your area of weakness is not sex. Maybe it's ego and approbation. And you compare yourself to the immoral person and you say, I'm better than that person because I would never run around on my wife. No, you're not any better. You're just self-righteous. You want to know the worst type of people in the Bible? The self-righteous, legalistic, religious crowd who thought they were doing God a favor by the way that they acted. They were the people that rejected Jesus Christ. They were the people that Jesus gave the sternest warnings about, the self-righteous, religious crowd. You can read about it in Luke 18. You can read about it yourself. You can read in Luke 18, verse 9, 10, 11. You can see how the self-righteous religious crowd prays. Jesus gave a parable unto certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And he goes on to tell the story of how a Pharisee prayed. And God said, that prayer is never going to be answered. So he prayed it for the wrong reason. Now, the fourth reason your prayers are not answered is similar to number one. Number one is you're not filled with the Holy Spirit when you pray. And number four, you have sin in your life when you pray. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin in your life when you pray. God will not answer your prayer. Why? The Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved. He can't intercede for you in prayer. It's not going any higher than the ceiling. Or the fifth reason, you may be disobedient to God in your prayer. In 1 John 3:22, the Bible is very clear about it. And I'll turn over there and I'll read this one to you as well. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his mandates and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We keep his mandates. We are not disobedient to God. We are not out of his will. One of the mandates that the Bible talks about is effective prayer. For example, you're never authorized to pray to Jesus, nor are you authorized to pray to the Holy Spirit, nor are you authorized to pray to a saint. The Bible authorizes you to pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, by means of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's an effective prayer. And if you come to God praying to, oh, dear Jesus, even though he's our Lord and Savior, that's not who you address your prayers to, and your prayers will not be answered. You address your prayers to the Father if you want to be obedient to his will. Now, God said, if you love me, obey me, and my mandates are not hard. This is not hard. You pray to the Father in the name of the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. The sixth reason that your prayers are not answered is because you have an attitude of disrespect to God's advice. You have an attitude of disrespect to God's advice. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 1:25. But you have set at naught all of my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. And I will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock you. And when fear comes, and when your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish come upon you, you will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and they would have none of my counsel, and they despised all of my reproof. So, you have an attitude of disrespect to the advice of God, from the Word of God, and you want to go to prayer and want God to solve your problem? Not going to happen. You need to read that again, Proverbs 1:25-30. You need to reconsider. When you hear the truth of the Word of God and what it says, and you ignore it, and you decide that what you believe is more important than what God tells you, you're guaranteeing that your prayers are not going to be answered, because you're going to get yourself in a terrible jam. You wouldn't listen to God the first time. Now you're in a jam. Now you want God to bail you out of it. And God says he's going to laugh at your calamity because you would not listen. The seventh reason is your prayer is not in accordance with the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. If your prayer is not in accordance with the will of God, that prayer is not going to be answered. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the request that we desire of him. That is, if it's according to his will. The eighth reason that your prayers may not be answered is you're proud or you're arrogant. In Proverbs 16:18. Here's one that may surprise you. The ninth reason your prayer will not be answered is you have no compassion on the needy. Proverbs 21:13. People that you know, legitimate people that need help, and you won't help them. You have no compassion, no empathy on the needy. And the tenth and final reason that prayer is not answered is because there is no domestic tranquility between the husband and the wife. This is taught in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. In other words, if the husband and wife are arguing and fighting, they're out of fellowship, they've quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit, prayers are not going to be answered. Pray for your children, pray for your future, pray for whatever you want to. It's not going to be answered until you quit fighting with one another. There are 10 specific reasons why God does not answer prayer. If you'd like to have a copy, contact me. I'll send you one. But now let me say this. There's one other thing you need to understand. A person who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, God cannot answer his prayers. If you have never trusted Christ to save you, God cannot answer your prayers. You do not have access to the throne room of God. The greatest decision you could ever make is to believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. And that's why the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you will put your faith and your trust in the finished work of what Jesus Christ did for you, he paid for your sin, he took your place, he died for you. They buried him. They said he's dead. And they were dead wrong, because he walked out of the grave alive. And he's alive today. And he will live in your life if you will receive him. And then you can have access through the throne room of God as a child of God. This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.